this morning, we do have Sean Temple, our sports director. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Daniela Earle. She is the new Carl Sandburg College Athletic Director. Good morning, Daniela.
Good morning.
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. You and Sean have run into each other in the press box, so this is just a good old homecoming for us. And and run into the press box because you were at Knox College before.
Correct.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm a journeyman. I've been around athletics, college athletics, for over 30 years, and my latest stop prior to Carl Sandburg was at Knox College. That's what brought my family to Galesburg. And I retired in June and enjoyed a wonderful summer with my family doing absolutely nothing, unplugged. And then Carl Sandburg came calling, and it was just something I couldn't pass up. So I'm excited, and I'm 2 weeks in, so I'm still relatively new, but enjoying every moment of it.
Okay. And you and I had a chance to catch up off the air a little bit about you and your athletic career with 30 years. Take us back where you grew up, where you went to college, and your coaching career.
Okay. So I was born in New Orleans and grew up in Houston. My family relocated. I went to my undergrad is at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. And a quick story on that. I chose that over quite a few other schools, Texas A&M, Rice University. Because both sets of grandparents lived in that town. So I figured free meals on Saturday and Sunday and free laundry, right?
That's how we used to look at decision making, right? Mm-hmm.
That was pretty simple for me. So,
gosh, and you bring up those names of those universities and Rice, and that's the old Southwest Conference.
Yes, it is. Yes, we were chatting about that. I have memories of the Southwest Conference as a young one. But I, right out of school, I taught a couple of years in Nederland School District, small town. And knew right away college was where I wanted to be. So I took my first coaching job at LSU. So I spent a couple of years in Baton Rouge. Yeah, be nice.
It's a good place to start.
It was
it
a place
a big
to start.
Place to start.
It was a fantastic experience for a very young coach.
What'd you coach?
Swimming and diving. Well, swimming. It was
nice.
Part of the swimming and diving staff. And from there, I went to the University of Texas, and I coached there as well under one of the Olympic head coaches, and that was a real education as a young coach, very formative years at those two schools. And of course, like every young coach, you know everything, and you want to head coach because you know everything. So of course, I went out to Fresno State as their head coach, and I was out there for 10 years, and boy, what a learning curve, you know, going from being an assistant to a head coach. There's a lot going on there. And so I had a great experience out in California.
Still swimming?
Still swimming,
okay.
Yep.
All swimming coaching positions. Okay,
but I will credit the administration there. I had the opportunity for those 10 years to, I think they started grooming me a little bit for administration. So I had the opportunity to serve on a lot of task force committees, things like that, and got a taste for it, which I think helped me professionally, certainly. From there, I needed to come back home. I needed to get back closer to my parents. And so I took the job at Tulane University. I had never been at a private school, and I thought, wow, what a great experience, and really good budgets, really, you know, and back to New Orleans, where I was born. So I was at Tulane, was there during Katrina, so that was quite the experience. That's nothing you want to ever have on your resume.
And Tulane's right there close to the downtown.
Yes,
I've been
Garden
there.
District.
Yeah,
yes.
And mm-hmm. so it was not out of the
It was
woods.
Devastated.
Yeah.
The hurricane hit in August, and we were not even back on campus till January.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It was bad, yeah.
It was severe, and so it was during that time that I made the transition into administration at Tulane. I was, you know, when you go through something catastrophic like that, it becomes very emotional, right? Very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I transitioned into administration there because I really wanted to help them rebuild that department just on an emotional, personal level. So that was my first foray into administration was at Tulane. I did that for a couple of years. And then I moved up to University of North Dakota, which is an FCS Division I school. Was there 10 years, and what a great opportunity. I started out kind of in one role, and my main role was to help them transition from Division II to Division I. And so I had my hands in so many things. It was a great opportunity, and I spent my last 5 years there as the Deputy Director of Athletics. Had a great run, really enjoyed it, really good people. Learned a ton. but wanted to try my hand at Division III, which is what brought me to Knox. I wanted to be an athletic director, but had felt that sometimes at Division I, it really is all about the revenue.
Sure.
Not all the time, but many. It's got to be part of every conversation, right? And I am a little bit of a purist, maybe, where sports is concerned. And I thought, you know, Division III might be a really good fit for me because it's not about doing the students certainly aren't doing it for the money. To be honest, neither are the coaches. none of us are. So the search firm, I spoke with the search firm for Knox and had a few conversations with them and thought, you know, this might be a really good fit. And it was a way to get my family south. We needed to get back south and to get a little bit closer to family.
Sure.
So Knox was great. It was a great fit. Teresa Mott, president, hired me, loved her. Andy McGadney transitioned in, and I think there are good things in store for Knox. But in June, well, really, about the last year, I had been thinking, you know, I think I can retire, right? Count your pennies, right? You get your nickels out. And
sure.
And so we said, you know, with what the kids were engaged with, as we talked about a minute ago, I thought it's a good time for me to just retire and just be a mom and you know, do whatever it is that moms do, which is a lot. And
they still coach.
Right.
They do.
You know, so anyway, that's where I ended up. I was retired, and then the opportunity at Sandberg presented itself, and I knew some people out there, and I always heard it was a great place to be. I'd always heard it was a great place to work. And for me, you know, it's a really successful program athletically.
Yeah.
And that's always attractive. Winning is fun, right? And I had had the opportunity to meet a couple of the coaches, nothing serious, just get to know them a little bit. And veteran coaches mean less headaches for athletic directors.
It's a good group out there.
It is. They're strong. And I just thought, wow, you know, maybe this can work. And my family, my kids had made it clear to me when I retired that we were not moving. That was
well, they're in school.
Right. That was dictated to me by the two oldest. We are not moving, and I'm great. So here we are, back at it, right? Back.
We're talking with Daniela Earle. She is the Carl Sandburg College Athletic Director, has amassed 30 years of athletic endeavors, whether that be coaching, administration, in multiple parts of the country. I got to ask you, going from Fresno State, being in the South to the Southwest, the coast, up to University of North Dakota. Holy moly, how was that first winter?
I was thinking the same thing. You've been a whole wide range of seasons.
You know, North Dakota is the coldest place I've ever lived, obviously. you know, once you get past the 6 to 8 weeks of nothing above zero, you're home free. My first winter there, they said, was the worst winter they'd had in years. So I think that was good because I thought, okay, well, I survived this.
It can't get worse
right.
than this.
And it didn't, right? It just, but it has been fun being in different parts of the country to see different cultures, the food. I rate every place I live on food. And I got to tell you, Baton Rouge is tough.
Yes. So,
I know you're not an LSU fan, but Baton Rouge is hard to beat.
Baton Rouge, the food in Louisiana, period.
Right, it's hard to beat.
Is good.
But
I like LSU better than Alabama. How's that?
That'll work. Me too. So
don't we all?
Yeah, don't we all? So,
for all the LSU fans. Totally kidding. SEC thing. All right. So I wanted to ask you, too. You said you're a purist, which I think Sean and I would be right there with you.
Yes.
And probably because we're D3 athletics too. We didn't, there's no NIL back in our day, of course.
Right.
Tell us about that though. You know, TV revenue, the NIL, boy, that's changing collegiate sports. Luckily not at the D3 level though, or the how about at the JUCO, the junior college level?
You know, we were talking about that. The demise of say a Southwest Conference, you know, it made sense, right? Conferences were, regardless of division, it was all about geography, travel, right? Things that made sense, families coming to see kids play. It all made sense. And then TV revenue crept in. And that just opened the floodgates. And so NIL is really just an extension of that, right? It's just an extension of the exposure that athletics now has through social media. Without social media, NIL is not near as powerful Right. That's where a lot of it's happening, or much of it, not all of it, but much of it. There's just been a huge cultural and financial model shift from 30, 40 years ago. And it is touching Division III. We had a couple of athletes at Knox with NIL deals. Now, it's not, you know, you're not talking the $10,000 deals, but listen, it trickles down.
Yeah.
It will trickle down. There will be collectives at the D3 level. There are already some larger D3 athletic departments talking about forming their own collectives. And there is a trickle down. It won't all trickle down. So now at the junior college level, I think at this point that might be the purest level of college athletics. Yes, they have scholarships, but it's a two-year endeavor, right? It's a two-year endeavor. And I find, especially at Carl Sandburg, we know what our identity is. We know what our job is. It is to service the community. Sandburg is going to service this community, whether it's adults coming back, certifications, young people giving them a place to land. What I love about athletics at the JUCO level or junior college level is that it gives them an opportunity to continue playing sports.
Yes.
And I think that matters. Coming out of high school, I was a Division I athlete, but I wasn't ready to be done, right? And I think it's a great transition. And, you know, if that's what motivates a student to go to college, great. I don't really care what their motivation is, but you know, I know at Sandburg, we get them in, and then we provide tons of resources. The technology at Sandburg is off the charts. I can't believe some of the technology they have available for students. But I do believe, you know, junior college might be the last standing, in 20 years, might be the last pure place that it really is about love of sport. Yes, there's some money involved, but it's for 2 years. It's not a long-term four-year deal kind of thing. And but it is interesting. Buckle up for the next 5 to 10 in college athletics.
Boy, when we saw yesterday or the day before that they were talking about Texas A&M, no, it was the University of Texas, spent $280,000, was it, on 9 players and Arch
Manning? On a weekend.
Yeah.
On a weekend.
And I'm thinking, for the Razorbacks, wow, we give them a hog hat and go to the catfish hole. That's about the most we do. Not $280,000, you know, dollars, but they got it to spend.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, well, Longhorn Network, right? That was, if you look back before all the conference shifting, that was a point of contention in the previous league, is they had their own network and they were going to need to retain those rights and that money. And it is becoming about the money and the haves and the have-nots. And but you know, you've got to tip your hat. So I spent 10 years in an FCS school. Mm-hmm. And I've got to tip the hat to FCS. They continue to get the job done. You know, they great educations, great students, and you know, but it's hard even at the junior college level. You know, at Sandburg, we're talking about facilities and how to compete and, you know, how to stay relevant with what kids care about in technology. And, you know, I feel like Sandburg's, one of the attractions for me was I feel like they're really committed to that.
Yes, and we have some really good highlights to share this morning that Aaron Frey put together for us. Go ahead, Daniela, you as the athletic director. We've got just some areas of interest for Carl Sandburg College sports that we want to get out there for those students.
Absolutely. So I know last year we had 5 teams represented at nationals. We have 11 sports. So, and then we had another 5, same 4, adding one more. So 6 that were champions or runners up in Region 4, which is our larger region. Our baseball team won the conference championship, Arrowhead Conference. So that's 7 of 11 teams that are winning championships at the conference, regional, or playing at the national level. I think that's profound, you know, and I know that academically, a third of our athletes last year were recognized for academic honors. And that, at the end of the day, is really what it's about, right? They're all going on to something else. They're going to jobs. They're going to 4 years, right? They're moving on. So the academic piece, and I think if my memory serves, that's third straight year for that level of academic honor, which I think is really important. I like the fact that at Sandburg we can provide these students good education, good preparation for whatever comes next, for them, you know, professionally. But I also like that while they're at Sandberg, they feel like they have a shot at a championship, right? They're relevant. Every one of our sports in our league, in our region, and for most of them nationally, they are relevant. And Moy, as an athlete, well, as a sports fan, don't you like that?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you
well-rounded
just want to
people.
Right. You want to be relevant in your sport and in your academics. And so I've really enjoyed that. I know that, you know, our cross-country team right now, we run a lot of meets, and there's D1 schools, and we're beating some of them. Mm-hmm. And what a feel-good for these student-athletes to know that they can compete at that level, you know, and what a confidence builder.
Yep.
So.
And you got a soccer team in the top 20 again for the fourth straight week, I believe.
Yep, that's right, 18th this week. Yep. So they're, you know, well-coached, and those young men work hard.
They do.
They
yeah.
do. They
All
work
those,
hard.
Yeah. We know a lot of Carl Sandburg College students over the years and currently, and right here from our local districts, and it's really good for them to be able to continue mm-hmm. to play the sport that they love and get an education or vocational training.
That's right.
At the same time.
That's right. Get a future. That's what I always say, you're growing your future. You've got 2 years here. Grow your future. And I believe that, what a great group of students. I've had the opportunity to meet with most of the teams, not all of them, because I want to do that one-on-one. And they're just great people. Just great people. Really, really good student athletes. I enjoy them.
Good. And I guess the question is, your household, what's your team? You've been to so many different places. You've got a lot of teams to root for.
Yeah, you know.
Lamar, so, Fresno State, yeah, LSU, Texas.
So the beauty of that is on any Saturday, you know, any whatever's on TV, if it's football, basketball, soccer, gymnastics, it doesn't matter. I have somebody to root for.
True.
Right? If I flip enough channels, I'm going to find a team that I can cheer for.
There you go.
So that's the beauty.
You get to fill out a bracket, you know, with for basketball and feel
right,
good
right.
about who you're picking.
As we discussed, I have a lot of Aggies in the family. So it all, you know, if all else fails, if I can find A&M on, at least I can have the familial connection. That's my fallback position, I suppose. but it's fun, you know. And now I can add junior college to that. Yeah. Right now I can be a Sandberg fan, and I'm really active on social media, and I know that Sandberg does a really nice job on social media. So I hope people will follow us there, and we push out a lot of good information on these young people and coaches and what they're doing. And there's never a shortage in our house of who to cheer
right.
for.
We're talking with Carl Sandburg College Athletic Director Daniela Earle. You know, curiosity, I know Sean's probably wondering this too. We never get a chance to ask somebody with this type of background where you've been all over the country, different levels, different conferences from Power Fives to D1, D2, D3, and now junior college. Does sports betting play a role? Because it's you can do that in certain states, and it's growing, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. in the billions of dollars. Does that play a role in the psyche of a player? And does it pose a potential threat down the road for, what's the word?
Consequences.
Who's the guy that
influences.
Everybody wants in the,
yeah,
the
influences.
Hall of Fame?
Influences.
That
Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Influences, for sure.
You know, that is a really good question. You don't hear as much about that anymore because we've got NIL. We've got mm-hmm. so many other things that can distract us. Gambling is always an undercurrent in sports. I think that will always be something that athletic departments are conscious of. At the D1 level particularly, there's a lot of money on the line. March Madness comes, you know, obviously is the
sure.
most obvious. And I think that at least the schools I've been at, there is a very intentional and methodical effort made to continually educate on gambling. So it's not out of sight, out of mind for most of the student athletes, at least at the schools I've been at, including Knox. You know, that I can't speak to this year, but I know the 4 years past when I was there, gambling was part of the education that we present at the start of every year. Just caution, right? Be cautious. I think at Division I particularly, not everyone's your friend. And I think that is really now the messaging to student athletes is not everyone has your best interest at heart. So be smart. And, you know, there is a ton of pressure on student athletes, including at a school at the junior college level because of social media. Everything they do is under the microscope. Everything they say is a soundbite or, you know, or a meme. But at the Division I level, there's also money involved. And at least my experience has been that there's a real effort to educate on gambling, where the trips could come up, you know, where the speed bumps are, what to look out for, what to be cognizant of. I've never been at a school where there's been a gambling issue, but
the potential's
always there, right? Well, no different than all the investigations going on now to, you know, improper gear basketball, you know, everything mm-hmm. going on at Louisville, right?
Right.
There's always that, right? There's always someone that's not really having the best interest of the student athlete. Because if it's really about the student athlete, you'd never put them in that position.
Right.
They would, as a donor, as a booster, as a community member, if it really is about that student, you as the adult would never put them in that situation. You wouldn't. Because you know there's so much for them to lose, right? So, you know, I question the motives when people put them in those positions. Well, I just want to give them some money. Ah, there's other motivations.
Yeah, right.
There's other motivations because you know the risk that you're placing. So gambling's real.
Do you think the NIL will help students stay longer at school and get their degrees now that they can have the opportunity to make money?
Less one and done's.
Because that really plagued college sports.
You know, I'm always one that says you've got to have longitudinal data, right? You've got to have data, and we just don't have that.
Yeah, true.
We don't know. Conventional wisdom says maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, for some. I think there are some young men and women who don't have that extra dollar or two to go get a slice of pizza, right? I believe true. That happens. That is happening. So do I believe it helps them? Yes. Do I believe that for some it might be the incentive to stay a year or two? Yes. But it's still such a small percentage that are benefiting from NIL. Let's not forget that. The percentage is still very small. That isn't helping every student athlete that has a need.
That was what I was going to ask you that, too, because, again, your experience level gives us an opportunity to have some educated commentary. It's with the NIL, I mean, all we see on social media or SportsCenter is college football, college basketball. A lot of it, male sports. Is the same going to be there for, let's say, wrestling or swimming and diving, men and women, girls, women's soccer? Those aren't the ones being betted on, or is that how you say it? I'm not
gambled
into the
gambled
thing
yeah.
yet. Notice I said yet. but those are not traditionally the sports that are on TV primetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the investment, I think, is probably the word, is more toward the ones that have the exposure, right? Which is football, basketball, women's basketball.
Yeah.
So again, no longitudinal data, right? We don't know where this ends, but I think it depends on the school. There are some schools at the Division I level right now that are forming collectives for all the student athletes or for female student
sure.
athletes, trying to balance the scale that will likely never be balanced.
Right.
The scale is never balanced. It's a goal. It's a noble objective. But it doesn't always work that way when a financial model comes in, and NIL, make no mistake, is a financial model. So it doesn't benefit all. But I do think there are schools committed to trying to spread the wealth, if you will, you know, to
sure.
try to make sure that everyone gets a piece of the pie, so to speak. But not every school is going to have the resources to do that. And
therein lies
so
the challenge,
again,
yeah.
we'll let's have this conversation in 10 years and we'll see where we're at, you
exactly.
know, and, you know, would I love to see it trickle down to junior college? I would. But again, it's always a trickle down. And for now, you know, at the junior college level, we're still playing because we love to play.
Right.
We're still here to get a vocation, to get an education, to decide what's next for us in life, to be athletes, right? That's their primary concern. I get to play. You know, these young men and women at Division I, that's a different environment. You know, that's a different place.
Well, thanks for giving us your insight.
Oh, you're welcome.
Since you've had the opportunity to be at multiple places. So sure. I guess the final question, Sean, you get to be the tiebreaker. It's her A&M Aggies versus my Razorbacks Saturday in the Southwest Classic at Jerry's house.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to you South football teams. I stay on the coast. So I'll let you guys battle it out between those two.
She's for the Aggies. I'm in the Razorbacks. Who do you think will win?
I know Arkansas is ranked, right? A&M? Where are you guys at in the rank? It's not
kind
that's the end-all, be-all.
But both, it don't matter.
Yeah, right.
Believe me, it doesn't matter.
This is old Southwest Conference
okay,
stuff.
Here's
and we
question.
Both, A&M got beat, got upset. We almost got upset. So it's really anybody's
ball. Here's
the
big question. Where's it at? Because I know
Jerry's house.
Okay, then that's tough.
At Arlington, it's always
at A&M at home. What's that, the 12th man? You guys call it?
Well, it's at Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah, right. But still,
that's
still
Station.
Closer to A&M
that's
than it
home.
Is. No, it's still at home that's rather than Arkansas.
We will bring
that's
as many fans.
I will say, Arkansas.
You guys chant.
You always side with the guest. Come on, A&M.
You guys have,
Thank you.
Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Sean Temple with us, and also Daniela Earle, the new Carl Sandburg College Athletic Director. Let's join ABC News in progress.